in Bhagavad Gita. He explains, Mamupecha Punara Janma Tukalayama Shashvatam Natpavanti Mahatmana Samsarim Paramam Gatha. That we should make our goal always self-realization, Krishna. We should never put any of our goals in this world, because this is a world where everything is temporary and therefore a cause of great distress, illusion and bondage. The great illusion of Maya is the more we have, the less we need. But actually it is just the opposite. The more we have, the more we need. The mind is a thing in and of itself. Its nature is to complicate everything, even the simplest. Spiritual life means simple living and high thinking. Material life means in pursuance of a high way of living and very dull thinking. The more we have, the more our whole life's energy has to strain itself to protect, to preserve, and to maintain what we have. Human life is meant to utilize our consciousness, our mind and our heart's energy, to strive for self-realization, to think of Krishna, to chant his holy names, to immerse oneself in devotional activities. But the illusion of this world is we think life will be easier if I have more. And we work so hard for more. And when we have it, then practically our entire consciousness is just trying to keep it clean, trying to keep it from falling apart, trying to keep it from being stolen or usurped, trying to keep it running properly. It is a fact. When I was young, it was a noted fact amongst all parents that the more games and toys you give children, the more there'll be anxiety fighting about these things. The less they have, the more peaceful they'll be, and the more they'll get along with one another. And as far as adults, multiply that problem by thousands of times. I was speaking to somebody today. Somebody was just in great anxiety where to store all possessions. So many possessions, and if I have to move, where will I store it? And how will I protect it and take care of it in case I need it? And I told you can do what you want, but if you want my opinion, get rid of all of it. Because instead of thinking of Krishna, you're thinking about pillows and refrigerators and tables and chairs and cotton and silk. You think thinking about these things is going to make you happy, make you purified? It's simply completely taking your life's energy away from Krishna. Better to just use what you have what you need, and if you need more later, get it later. Rather than spending so much of your time and your energy preserving something you're not even using, thinking you may need it later. It is a fact. The less we have, the simpler and more peaceful our life is. This is simple living and high thinking. What you require, have it. Live comfortable, make ends meet. But the suicide of our consciousness is, I'm become rich, now I need more and more and more and more. I can afford more and more and more and more. And your consciousness becomes less and less and less and less. One great devotee in our parampara, Jagannath Das Babaji, he was a very simple man. He was a Babaji. Babajis do not have anything. What do they need? He would just sleep under trees, very happy. Didn't have to think about anything, only Krishna. So when he was very old, he lived to be over 130 years old. But for the last years of his life, he could not walk properly. So he had one servant, Bihari Das, who used to put him in a basket and carry him on his shoulder. But he was known as a very, very great Vaishnava. And everyone, they really offered him the greatest ultimate respects, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So one time, Bihari Das was carrying him, and one very wealthy man, he said to Bihari Das, please let me give some donation, and for wherever you're going now, if you require some food, if Babaji Maharaj needs anything, let that take care of it. So he gave him 1 rupee. So they were walking for some time, some distance. And Jagannath Das Babaji asked his servant, did that rich man give you something? He said, yes, he gave 1 rupee. He said, go back to where he is. They walked all the way back. It was a long way, many kilometers, all the way back. And they found the rich man. And Bihari Das took Jagannath Das Babaji out of his basket. And Jagannath Das Babaji took the rupee and said, you take this back. The wealthy man says, why you will not accept it? He said, because my body is already difficult enough. And my servant, it's already so much weight for him to have to carry it. It is not possible for us to bear the burden of this 1 rupee. It's just too much weight, too much inconvenience for us to have to carry it. And then he looked at the man and he said, and you have so many lakhs of rupees, what kind of burden you have to carry throughout your life? It's not a burden of physical weight, it is a bit burden of mental weight. So this is what it means by simple living, high thinking. It does not mean that we have to be poor. But according to the Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti says, akinchanagocharam, that Krishna, you are the property of only those who are poor in heart. Those whose minds and hearts are not cluttered by all of these complications. By one who lives a simple life and accepts a very humble position, utilizing whatever we have for Krishna. Maya is so clever. This material world is called Durga, which means it is a prison. And what? In a prison house there are steel bars that keep you from getting out. But Maya Devi is so clever that she has created a prison, but there are no bars. Everyone is so much enamored by what's going on in the prison house that nobody wants to get out. Can you imagine if there was a prison and people were suffering like anything in this prison? Because after all, suffering means they can't really be free to do what they really should be doing. And somebody opened up all the gates and said, "All right, I'm letting you out, get out." And all the prisoners said, "No, I will not leave this place." Huh? What would you say about such prisoners? What would you say? Huh? You would say that they're just like human civilization everywhere. Because that's exactly what's happening. We're all in the prison of material existence, and Krishna comes, the sadhus come, they open the doors, they say, "This is the way, get out." And everyone says, "No, no, I'm too busy. I'm too busy breaking the rocks." Right? That's what prisoners do in America. They break rocks. It's called, sometimes the prison is called the rock pile. Just to keep them busy, they have to just beat on rocks and break them. So we're all breaking our rocks in this world, and somebody opens the door and says, "Get out." You say, "No, no, no, I'm too busy breaking my rocks." We laugh. It's true. From the point of view of a saintly person, we're all crazy. There's another saying that if you give a man, you give a man enough rope and he will hang himself. Huh? Human civilization means that. We work so hard, foaming at the mouth like asses. For what? Just to somehow acquire more rope, which ultimately is going to hang us. It's going to choke us. It's going to create such bondage in our life. How does it create bondage? Because it totally preoccupies our mind. And we forget the real goal, the real purpose. Therefore, simple living, high thinking. That is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Whatever status of society we may be in, we try to simplify our life. The simpler we are, the more peaceful we become. The illusion is when we have something, we cannot conceive of doing without it. Huh? As soon as you become attached to something, Maya puts you under the spell of illusion that you're thinking, "I cannot live without this. This is the bare necessities. This is the minimum." And really, it's just like a big burden. Prabhupada tells the story of somebody, a lady. She was carrying big burden on her left shoulder, and it was aching and so much, too much difficulty and suffering. And Krishna appeared before her, and she recognized that he was Krishna. And he said, I will give her any benediction that you want. And what did she ask? My left shoulder is hurting so much. Please help me to put this on my right shoulder. Huh? This is material life. Such a burden. Therefore, Krishna explains how freedom means freedom from attachments to the temporary things of this world. I remember when I was much younger and I was traveling in India, I didn't have anything. I had one set of clothes and I had a mala. This time I was living in Himalayas, and I was traveling from holy place to holy place. I would never sleep inside. I would just sleep under different trees in the mountains. But different ashrams I would go, people would give me for free different books. And I had a bag of books. And they were all religious books, philosophy books. And every book was so precious to me, I had to read that book. It was just, I had to read that book. But I'm basically a slow reader. So I had this many books. And of course, when you have no home, you can't leave anything anywhere. Wherever you go, whatever you have goes with you. Huh? You can't just leave something under a tree. Anything valuable you have to take with you, anywhere you go. So I was lugging this big bag of books around with me everywhere I would go. And it was just tremendous weight. It was painful. And I would get tired. And I'd think, God, this is such a burden. These books are just such a burden on me. It's just causing me so much pain. Instead of thinking of God, I'm just thinking about how my body is aching because I have to carry these books. I'm going to get rid of these books. And every day, I would go and I'd say, I'm going to get rid of these books. And I'd look, this book, no, it's not possible. I'll never get this book again. I have to keep it. Next book. This book is very valuable. Where will I ever see this book again? I must keep it. Someday I must read it. I could never leave one book behind. And then I just put it back. I have to give some of these away. But I was so attached to every single book. I wasn't using any of them. Except one out of about 20. But just the thought that in the future I'm going to need this. I did not have the heart to give one book away. And weeks went by and my back was aching. And one day I went to sleep. And when I woke up, all my books were stolen. It was under a tree in the Himalayas. And I was going through a tumultuous anxiety in my mind. My books, they're gone. All these books. And I started thinking of each one, how dear it was, how much enlightenment and inspiration I was going to get from it. And I was very sad. What am I going to do? Then I will now go to the Ganges to bathe. So I started walking to the Ganges. And I was thinking, my God, so easy to walk now. It's the first time I've walked in weeks without these books. Actually, I've attained mukti. I'm liberated. And then I realized, I didn't need any one of these books ever. I'm quite happy without any of them. If Krishna wants me to read one, it'll come. And I started dancing. So material life is like this. We can't live without whatever we're attached to. That's the illusion. But actually, you could live without everything you have. All you need is the name of Krishna. So simple living, high thinking, doesn't mean necessarily for a sannyasi. What do we need anything? We'll use it, we'll leave it. For a grihastha, what is required? But the more we try to accumulate, the more we accumulate anxieties in our mind. Exactly in relationship. So we keep our life simple. And then there can be peace. And through that peace, through that simple life, Krishna reveals himself from within our mind, from within our heart. So therefore Krishna says, Mamu Petya Punar Janma Dukalayam Ashashvatam Napnavanti Mahatmana Samsadim Paramam Gata. That those who are intelligent, they make their goal the spiritual world. They do not make their goal anything in this world. They'll utilize whatever they need in this world to help pursue that path to the spiritual world. No more, no less. Otherwise, accumulation of material attachment only slows us down. I remember Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Radhakund. He was talking with our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. He said, do you remember when I first started my first temple on Ultadanga Junction Road in Calcutta? It was just a very simple little house. And all the sannyasis and all the brahmacharis, they were all living in one room, just sharing the same bathroom, sharing the same room. And everyone was completely just eating rotis, not rotis in there, eating some dal, eating some rice. Very simple life. There was no politics. There was no fighting. There was just simple living, and everyone was just preaching and chanting the holy names and having kirtan. And then one wealthy man, he donated money to build a big, beautiful temple, a marble temple in Bagh Bazar. And now all the sannyasis and brahmacharis are fighting it with one another, who gets which room. He told Prabhupada, better we tear all the marble off that table and just send them all out, just distribute books. Of course, it does not have to be like that, but it is human nature. The more we have, the more we think we have, we need. The more we have, the more we think we need. Krishna says that material attachment is like fire. The more you feed it, the more the fire needs. So this is what is meant by simple living, high thinking. And this is not just the motto that is for sannyasis and brahmacharis. It is for everyone in every walk of life. Queen Kunti said, only one who has this sense of detachment and sense of uncomplicated thinking, such a person becomes, Krishna is their property. And all politics and everything like that is very much nourished by unnecessary attachments in life. Simple people cannot be political. They just, it's just too much of a burden on their mind to think about all these things. But when our life becomes complicated by the atmosphere we create around ourselves, then we have to become very political to defend ourselves, to defend our attachments, to preserve. So this is spiritual life. Simple living, high thinking. Be happy with the name of Krishna. Be happy with the association of devotees. Be happy with a little service to the deities. Be happy with a little prasad. You don't need anything else. And whatever it takes to keep body, mind, soul together, to keep the family happy, healthy, and wise, use it. And whatever's extra, liberate yourself by using it for something else besides accumulations. What is that verse? Bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam samashita ye padapalava plavam mahat padam bhunya gishomarari bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. This means that the devotees of the Lord, the true devotees of the Lord, they make Vaikuntha their only goal in life. They know that any goal you make in this world is only going to cause you suffering, because in this world there's danger at every step. And therefore, in this mentality, they are always seeking refuge, not in material articles, but they seek refuge in Mukunda, the giver of liberation. Knowing that one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the vast ocean of material complications is reduced to the amount of water found in the hoofprint of calf. And Mukunda is none different than his name. He makes himself so available. We should look for our pleasure, look for our refuge, look for our shelter, look for our nourishment, look for our maintenance in Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And sometimes even amongst devotees, craziness, they become envious. This person has more than me. If only I had that much, I would be... This type of envy is crazy. Sannyasis, even they become envious. This person has more than me. This is not sannyas. This is not grihastha either. We should be envious if this person can do if this person can be peaceful with less than me. We should be envious of him. Not envious in a negative way, but we should aspire to be like that. Rather than being envious, this person has better house, this devotee has a better car, this devotee has better clothes, this devotee has... We should be thinking, this devotee, he's doing with so much less, he's living such a simpler life, how I should be like that? That should be just the opposite. If we want to make spiritual advancement. If we don't want to make spiritual advancement, if we want to make bonded advancement and bondage and entanglement, then it is another thing. But how to do that? Because it is the nature of the mind, it is the nature of the senses, it is the nature of the soul to cling to things. We have to substitute the things of this world with Krishna, to cling to Krishna, to cling to his name, to cling to his seva, to cling to the feet of his devotees. And through this process, the whole ocean of material existence, which is impossible to cross over, becomes no more difficult than a puddle of water in the foot of a calf print. Is there any questions?